All right, I'm excited tonight. Last few days, I've had this message on my heart real heavy. I've got the message 2 weeks ago. I was watching a television program with my children, and during that television program, one of the kids said, "I just don't fit in." About a week ago, I had the opportunity to preach a funeral for a fella that committed suicide. And his children said to me, he just didn't feel like he fit in. Now, folks, let me tell you something tonight. Teenagers especially, there's a lot of times in your life that you're not going to feel like you belong. There's going to be a lot of times in your life when you feel like you are left out of the loop. You're left out of the circle. You're going through this all alone. But I've got news for you. You're not going through it alone. You're not going through this all by yourself. Matter of fact, once we study the scripture a little bit tonight, I got so excited about this. This is one of the only messages that I actually was preaching while I was preaching it to myself. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we live in a day and age today where there is no hope. You walk through the world, and most of the world that you'll talk to is down on life, depressed. Prozac is at an all-time high. Depression is running rampant. And most of the time, it is a simple fact says, I don't know where I fit in this world. Yeah. I've got news for you, Christian. You shouldn't feel like you fit in this world because you don't fit in this world. Okay? But the Lord has worked awfully hard to get us to where we are. I'm going to show you a few of those things tonight. He has worked awfully hard through all of eternity to bring you to where you are. Did you know that? He thinks about you every day. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I promise you I won't take long. But I'm excited about this because you know what? I fit in. And you know what? You do too. You have a place that God has prepared just for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I'm begging you to have me to decrease and you to increase. Lord, you're such a wonderful God. I can't even imagine how much you time and effort that you put into messing with people that just are so imperfect. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you do. And Lord, I believe that this church is on a great, great threshold of becoming something great. And in the transition, I believe we're great now, but Lord, in the transition of going to bigger things, I hope everybody understands that there's a place for them. They all fit in. Every single one of us. Be with us, Lord. Teach us. Lord, grab a hold of these teenagers' hearts tonight and let them know there's never a time that they don't fit in. There's never a moment when they aren't part, because there's a church in Ravenna, Ohio that loves them and desires them to be a part here. Be with us tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do I fit in? Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Let's all stand as we read just a few verses. And this will be my first point tonight also. And like I said, I'm not going to try to take very long tonight. It's nice outside, and I am imagining that's where half of us are, because, boy, the building was packed out this morning. Amen and amen. They heard a tremendous message from a tremendous preacher at a tremendous church this morning, and that was very exciting. It's exciting to see visitors come back. It's exciting to see new folks keep on coming and can't wait to be part of us. It's exciting to see all those things happening. And folks, I got to let you know that there's going to be a lot of new faces here at Bethel Baptist Church in the real near future. But know this, that the old faces have a very good place in Bethel Baptist Church. The old faces have a spot to be. They really do. And if you leave your spot, you're not part. And if you're not part, you're not doing what the Lord would have you to do. So let me go over a few things with you tonight. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. The Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set up a sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come." What a great word. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." A kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You may be seated.
I don't know if you're grabbing a hold of what that's saying. Annie, were you around at the foundation of the world? I was going to ask Grandma Sue that, but I'm afraid she'd say yes. Were you around? Nobody else gets away with that, do they, Steve? At the foundation of the world that was prepared for you, I believe that we can honestly say that nobody in this room was there. Yet it was still prepared for you. Where do I fit in? Well, I want to look at this a little bit different angle. We usually talk about where do I fit in this place. I want to find out where I fit in with God. Where do I fit in with God? In other words, where does God see me? You go back 17 years ago, there's no way that I would tell you I'd be here. If you go back to when I was 11 years old getting saved at his church, it's amazing how things work. I can honestly tell you there's no way that I'd be here today preaching your word. Eddie Wilson blessed my heart, did chapel for us. I was so excited about this. And I guess, you know what? This is a big deal for me, and I got excited about this. Maybe nobody else got what I got out of this. I called up. I was excited to tell Jeannie about it. Eddie preached to us out of an old Bible, and he told the kids the story. The Bible that he preached out of was his grandmother's Bible. And he said, well, I've used this Bible to preach in chapel services when I go to other schools to preach chapels, because your youth pastor goes a lot of places and preaches. Yeah. Your youth pastor is a very dynamic man. Amen. And we're lucky to have him.
Yes, we are.
And I believe before it's all said and done, I've said this, I'll say it again. I believe he's going to be the greatest youth pastor this place has ever seen.
Amen.
Before he's done.
Yes.
I can honestly say that.
I believe that.
He gets up and starts preaching out of this Bible. And he says, I want to let you know that, well, when I was a young kid, I used to like John R. Rice, and I really used to amen him, and this was a John R. Rice Bible. I told my grandma, boy, that's a John R. Rice Bible. Sure would like to have one of those. And his grandma said, well, I'd like to give it to you. So he brought it to school. I love this. Guess what school it was? It was Bethel Baptist School.
Amen.
There he was. How old are you now? He's 26 years old. I've got to believe somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 years later, he's preaching out of this Bible that he carried into this school to the kids of this school.
Amen.
Man, if you can't get excited about that, check your heart rate.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, what has happened is this. A young man came to this school. Where do I fit in? And the Lord has prepared him all these years. I've prepared all these things. I put all these things in front of him. Bless God. There's going to be a day when you're going to preach to the kids of this very school out of that very Bible that you carry to the very school that you're going to be preaching in.
Amen.
Glory to God, that's exciting.
Amen.
See, what you got to understand is this. If you look in his eternity past, that's number one. Where do you fit in God's eternity past? Well, if you look at this verse, Father, my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The scriptures are talking about the saved and the lost. They're talking about the sheep and the goats. They're talking about those things. How many in here tonight can say that they are a saved person? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're a saved person, then glory to God, you're on the sheep side.
Yeah.
If you're on the sheep side, glory to God. By the way, it doesn't say what kind of sheep you are. Big sheep, tall sheep, small sheep, fat sheep. Doesn't matter what kind of sheep you are, just a sheep.
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't matter if you got a long hair, woolly type of sheep. Doesn't matter if you got a short hair, just got trimmed kind of sheep. You're a sheep, amen?
Amen.
Well, you're on the sheep side. So what has happened, Brother Tom? You're on the sheep side. And if you're on the sheep side, Brother Tom, that means that you've had a kingdom being prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In God's eternity past, Tom Saylor was on his mind. In his eternity past, he knew that Tom Saylor was one day going to be born. In his eternity past. He knew that Tommy was one day going to walk this earth. And he knew in his eternity past that there's going to have to be a place for him to be. And he made him fit in that place that he was. No other person could fit in Tom Saylor's skin. And I'm glad there's only one. But he made him fit exactly where he'd have him to fit. He's made a... You realize... realize something, kids? This is amazing. He prepared a kingdom for you. For you. We talk about Jesus being a personal Savior, Annie. A personal Savior. Somebody that saved you personally. Is that right, Steve? My personal Savior. Well, if it's my personal Savior, then He took the time to make you His personal convert.
Yeah.
We always thought, well, God, well, thank you, Lord, for making me, or you being my personal Savior. Well, guess what? He had to work awful hard to make you His personal convert.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Josh, He took a whole lot of time to prepare a kingdom for you.
Yeah.
From the foundation of the world. He's been working to prepare a place for you. Since his eternity past, he knew he was going to have a mansion for Eddie White. From his eternity past. I don't care how many people name your name.
Right.
Name your name. It doesn't matter whose name you call out. Your name, Lou Griffey. He's prepared a place for you in his kingdom.
Yeah.
That kingdom's for, where do I fit in? Oh. You fit in his eternity past. Eternity past. You can't even think how far back that he thought about you.
Yeah.
You can't think about it. You fit in his eternity past. The second place you fit in is his present past. His eternity past, you can't even put a measurement on eternity. But not only his eternity past, you fit in his present past. Okay? Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. This is good stuff right here. Psalm chapter 139. Oh, this is good stuff. You start reading these verses, you got to get excited here. And we'll go over why you should get excited here in just a second. These verses in this Psalms chapter 139 are tremendous. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. This, by the way, searched, you know what searched is? Searched is past. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Oh, now that should scare you on one hand, because all of my ways are not good, okay? But he's acquainted himself with all of your ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I would say. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Oh, this is so good. Get a hold of this now, folks. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
Glory to God. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, boy.
Amen.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Hell, abortionist, stick that in your nugget and rub it. I'm going to tell you right now, he knew who you were before you knew who you were. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Your present past has been fashioned, has been formed, has been thought about, has been considered, has been moved along by God Almighty. There was never a time when you are not on His mind. From your rising up, from your laying down, there's never a time you're not on His mind. It doesn't matter if you're in the darkest depths or in the highest heights, you're never not on His mind. It doesn't matter if you're in the worst of times or the best of times, the brokest of the broke or the richest of the rich. It does not matter. He is still on His, you're still on His mind. Oh my goodness, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh God, where do I fit in? Are you crazy? Where do I fit in? He's made a world for you. If He takes all the time to think about you before you were even born, we've already talked about how He set up a kingdom before the foundation of the world for you. He made sure that you were brought into this world fearfully and wonderfully made for you. He gives you air to breathe for you. He gave you a whole life as a child for you. He gave you a life as an infant with great parents for you. He gave you a great childhood and a great middle adulthood. And He given those teenagers a great place to be for you. He cares about you. He loves you today. And I'm going to tell you right now, no matter where you are, He's there right with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
There's never a time when you're not on His mind. Teenagers, I've had the misfortune and fortune all at the same time to preach 4 suicides. One of them was a teenager. I can promise you the teenager felt like he didn't fit in. I can promise you that the teenager was depressed. I can promise you the teenager was angry. And I can promise you that God was right by him. I'm going to tell you something, kids. The Lord loves you. And I'm not saying that any of you kids are suicidal. But how do the suicidal kids get suicidal? There's got to be a time when that switches. And folks, I want to tell you something. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. The Lord has worked awfully hard to give you a place to be. Eddie, how hard is it? Think about this for a minute. How hard is it for God to bring you full circle? You've been in a lot of places, brother. How hard is it for the Lord to bring you full circle right back to where you started to be the youth director of this great teen group? How hard is it for God to fashion my steps so that I would not even meet His daughter, yet I would go to His church and be saved in His church? How hard is it for God that He's made that place for me and He's made my steps? Oh, well, Brother Dave, you took some bad steps when you were younger. Yes, I did, but let me explain something to you about the foreknowledge of God. And this should scare you to death and make you happy all at the same time. He knows what you're going to do before you do it.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Brother Dave, you're going to mess up. And thank God I'm going to mess up. I understand that. But thank God God's right with me when I do.
Yeah.
And what's great is, no matter how bad it is, Stevie, no matter what you've done or what you're going to do, He already knows all about it.
Amen.
He knows. We act sometimes and say, oh, Lord, I just, oh, man, I messed up. Ah! God's up there. Yeah, 20 minutes ago, I was looking at my watch. Saying, you know what? About 20 minutes, he's going to mess up. He's going to feel bad. But I've still made him fit in.
Yeah. Right.
I've still made a place for him. Even though I know he's going to mess up. I know he's going to have problems. And kids, let me tell you something. You kids are not perfect. You're not the most intelligent beings on the planet, although that's contrary to popular belief of most teenagers. Believe it or not, most of these adults in here have more knowledge in their pinkies than you have in your whole bodies. I know that's difficult for a teenager to swallow, but that is the truth. Although I believe I'm looking at smart ones, okay? But that doesn't mean that you've been around enough to know some of the things that these folks know. And they know that a teenager's life is getting harder by the minute. And they know that you're going to come up against some things that you never imagined you were going to come up against. I guarantee you, Eddie, when he was bringing in that Bible for the first time at school, never envisioned what his life was going to be. But you know what's amazing? God does know. And yes, you have choices. And yes, you have to make those choices. And we'll get to that at the end. But I've got news for you, folks. Even whatever choice you make, God knows you're going to make that choice. And He's still going to be there for you. Can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. But that doesn't mean you don't fit anymore. All that means is you've done something that He knew you were going to do. Now, does that give you the right to just go out and do whatever you want to do? No way. No way. We're talking about the foreknowledge of God. That's a crazy subject if you think about it. He just wants to make sure you know that no matter how far away you go, He knows.
Yeah.
And He desires you to be back. Where else do I fit in? I fit in His eternity past. I fit in His present past. I also fit in right now. I fit in, you got to understand something now. I've gone over some major amount of time. 6,000 years ago, all the way to the present past, you were never, there's never a time that you weren't. You get that? That's hard to think of, isn't it? There's never been a time that you weren't because God saw you before you were. Okay, now I understand that you weren't walking this earth at that time, and that's hard for you to conceive, but glory to God, I'm glad it is because that's God's job to conceive that. You got to understand, He knew about you all the way back from before the Garden of Eden. He knew that when Adam sinned, He knew that the sin was going to enter in. He was going to have to come down to this earth just to save Dale Robinson. He knew it. He knew that. And there was never a time He didn't know it. What you got to understand is you've always fit into Christ's plan. Did you know that? He's always had a spot reserved for you. Where do you fit in? You fit in His eternity past. Where else do you fit in? In His present past. Where else do you fit in? You fit in His present.
Yes.
Turn to Psalm chapter 139. We're already there. And I want you to look at 17 and 18. This is good stuff right here. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now you got to understand something. I want you to understand what this is telling you. I know this is easy to understand, but I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to grasp what this is saying to you. This is saying to you, how great is the sum of the thoughts of the Almighty God toward you. Personally. Not towards the congregation. Not towards just the preacher, and you have to hope that some fall off the table. You just get crumbs. Not just for the greatest men of God like Dr. Hiles. No, it's a personal relationship that Jesus Christ has with you. And how great are the thoughts? Look at what it says. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. It doesn't say the sand of one beach or a pailful. It says the sand. How many sand grains do you think there is on the earth? Ooh-wee, I wish I was running my toes through some right now. When I awake, I am still with thee. It didn't say, by the way, understand this. Did it say there that He's with you? No. When I awake, I'm still with you. I'm with Him. What you got to understand is this. In your present, right now today, do you realize that Jesus Christ has thought about you more than you can possibly number? You personally, Jeannie. He's thought about you more times a day than you can even fathom. He's thought about you in your present, right now today. He's thought about you right now, in this very moment, teenagers. He's thinking about you and He's got you on His mind right now. There's never a time, I've heard lots of people say, oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? Get the truth of this scripture. He's never gone. The truth is that there's never a time when you're not on His mind. Never. It never runs out. You know how long it would take to have every thought as the sand of the sea come through for you? How long it would take? I don't think you'll live long enough. I mean, think about that for a minute. He was thinking about you all the way from eternity. He's going to be thinking about you all throughout eternity. Bless God, where do you fit in the middle of God's day, He's thinking about you. Where do you fit in God's schedule on His day runner? What do I have to do today, Mary? What do I have to do today, sis? Well, God, I'm God, and I'm going to look down, and I'm looking through my day runner here, and I've got my whole day booked up of thinking about Mary McDaniel. What do you got to do today? Well, you got to save the planet? No, my whole day is booked up thinking about Jack Dollar. What are you going to do today? Well, I got a lot of things on my mind, but you know what? I'm going to think about Pastor Skyver all day today. What you got going on tomorrow, Jesus? You free then? No, I'm thinking about Pastor Skyver again tomorrow. What are you going to do about the next day and the day after that and the day after that? I'm sorry, I'm booked. I'm thinking about Pastor Skyver all day, every day. And you think, well, how's that possible? He's God. Amen. He's got a good day runner. Lots of appointment times. He's thinking about you every minute, every second of every day. He's thinking about you, offering you a place to be, offering you a place to fit. And I got news for you. When the Lord makes the hole, the peg is going to fit in it. Where do I fit? Where do I fit? I don't understand. What part of Bethel am I going to be if we move out to that land? You're already part. You're already part of Bethel. You've already got a huge part. Well, Brother Dave, all I do is sit in this pew all day. Well, change that. You can change sitting in the pew to something else. But no matter what you do, God knew you were going to do it, and He's prepared your way to do that. Because God works hard to make sure that you fit in. God works hard to make sure you're part of His plan. God works hard to make sure that you have an opportunity. Let me give you an example. If you go all the way back to the cross, you were on His mind. I wanted to have Eddie and Misty sing tonight. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. If he doesn't go to the cross, there's some steps that you just can't take. They're just not available to you. You can't become a Christian because he never went to the cross. You could have faith in him like the Old Testament saints had. I understand that. But the cross sure did make a difference in your life. Wouldn't you say? And because of him going to the cross, he had you on his mind. He's made a place for you. Even since eternity past, he's made a place for you all these years. A place for you to be. Preparing a kingdom for you. Going to the cross for you. Fearfully and wonderfully making you. Constantly having you on his mind. I'm going to tell you right now, folks. The Lord desires to have you fit in. And he works very hard to make sure that you have a place. Not only in his eternity past and his present, past and in his present, although I will say I have to go to Romans chapter 8. Amen. This is one of my favorite verses. This is one of my favorite verses. Oh, this is good stuff. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture. There's two sets of verses I'm going to read to you. One is chapter 8, verse 18, and then I'm going to read to you chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. The first verse, chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Yeah. You see, well, I'm going through a hard time, and he knows it. I can't live right. I'm doing some things wrong. He knows it. I'm suffering. He knows it. He understands. He knows your suffering. He's fashioned your steps from eternity past. He knows what's going on in your life. There's never a time he's not with you. Never a time he doesn't think about you. He knows what you're going through. Pray to him. He's right there with you. And those sufferings aren't worthy. They're not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Likewise, verse 26, get this. You say, well, I'm going through a hard time right now. I bet you are. But look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know what an infirmity is? Sickness, illness, different kinds of illnesses. He helps me with my infirmities. How? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's times in your life when you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to say. You don't know what in the world's going on with your body. You don't know how in the world to pray for your future sometimes or what to pray for. But look at this. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, man. A language you don't even speak. That Spirit is praying for you and uttering for you to God Himself to help Brother Jack get through this bad time, to help Miss Lizzie get through this bad time, to help these teenagers get through these bad times. That Spirit has been uttering for you since eternity past. That Spirit has been uttering for you every time you go through something bad. That Spirit utters for you in every single step you take. The Spirit is uttering for you and you don't even know what it's saying. Yeah. You think it's bad now? Let that Spirit stop uttering for you. Oh, boy. Where do I fit in? I would say you fit in the middle of that Spirit's day. Because that Spirit is uttering for you. And he that searches the hearts, verse 27, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Who's the one that searches the hearts? The Lord. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So Jesus knows what's going on with the Spirit. That Spirit that's uttering for you. Because he maketh intercession for the saints. according to the will of God. Where do you fit in? I think Jesus is working awfully hard to make you fit in. He's given you a spirit that utters for you every single day. Well, Brother Dave, you don't know what's going on in my life. You are right. But God does. And he's made a point. Not only a point, he's made a whole career of making sure that you are taken care of. You say, I don't know how I'm going to make the next house payment. That's a small thing to God. He's fashioning your whole life. He's working your whole life right now. I would love to meet the life that would actually stay in line with God the whole time and to see what God would do with that life. Think about that for a minute, kids. If you just stayed in line with what God had planned for you from day one to your finish, imagine what God would do with your life. Oh, my. If I could go back and change some of the things that came in my life, all the things that I believe that the Lord could have done through me, oh, Lord, I wish I would have done those things, but I did not. And the Lord did not have me that way. The Lord made me to fit in this hole that I'm in right now. He said, you know what? That's a peg, which is a big hole. I understand everybody's snickering out there. The hole that the Lord made for me, he put me in that hole. That's the only hole that I can be in, and the only person that go in that hole is me. He made that for me, knowing what my past was going to be, knowing what my future was going to be. He made a spot for me to fit in. Steve Browning, he made a spot for you. Eddie, he made a spot for you. Josh, he made a spot for you. And only you can be in that spot. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through right now. No, but God does, and he still has a spot for you.
Yeah.
No, see, he knows what you're going to do before you do it. That's what you got to grab a hold of.
Yeah.
He knows where you're going to be. He knows what you're going to think. He knows what you're going to say. And because of those things, he's made that spot in your future and in your present. And he's put that spirit inside of us that knows things that we don't know. And prays things that we cannot pray. And says things that we cannot say. And God has done that to provide a space for us. Sometimes you say, oh God, where are you? If you only knew how many places God was just for you. Man, we live in a day and age where it seems like God is gone. It seems like, where is the Lord at? I got news for you. The Lord's never left, Annie. The Lord's always been there. The Lord's made a way for us. He's made a life for us. Also, not only in just his present, but in his present future. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, this is so good. Oh, I can't imagine how good God is. It's not, we can't comprehend how good he is. We really can't. And I'm amazed that there's been days in my life where I've shook my fist at him. I'm glad I'm the only one in this room that's done that. I've shook my fist at God and said, what are you doing? He could squash me like a bug. But he's got something prepared for me. Don't know what it is. I'm just going to follow him. Look at what he's done here. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 20. Actually, let's start in verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Saved people. We've been made fellow citizens. Good Lord have mercy. Why did he do that? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, get this now, how much of the building did he say? In all the building, fitly framed. Where do I fit? You are fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Woo. Guess what preacher is? Preacher's a 2x4.
Yeah, at least.
8, 10. Annie is a 2x4. Tom is a 2x4. Bobby Shell's a 2x4. Carl McDaniel's a 2x4. We won't use any air compressors or nails because we don't want Bobby to get hurt again. Eddie Wilson's a 2x4. Levi Wilson's a 2x4. Robert Popel's a 2x4. You Browning boys, 2x4s. That's what you are. And what the Lord does, he takes you folks in his master plan, Tommy, and he fitly fits you together. You can't have one without the other. Build a house and don't have the 2x4s delivered. See how that goes. What he does is this. He grabs a whole group of lives. He doesn't matter how naughty, how sappy, how uncut, not perfect you are. He's a master carpenter. He came down and had practice right here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And what he did was this. He decided, if I can get a group of people that are called by my name, and I get them to humble themselves, I can make them into a pretty nice building.
Amen.
And you know what's going to happen, Eddie? He's going to take that building. He's going to put it together. And after he gets that building built with a nail gun, hopefully not into any windows, and he's going to get that nail gun, shoot, 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 all those 2x4s are going to go up. You know what's going to happen? He's not building the house for you, Jack. He's not building the house for you, Eddie Browning. He's not building the house for you, Mom, although I'd like you to be in the shed outside. He's not building the house for you, Jeannie Wilson. He's building the house with you for him. He's building the house for himself to habitate. He's building the house for himself to walk through. He's building himself a house for himself to live in. For himself to be inside. Bobby, he chose you and your past to be part of his house. Where do you fit in? Glory to God, you've never not fit in. Did you know there's never been a moment that you haven't fit in with Jesus Christ? Never been a time. Brother Dave, well, I did this and this. I took drugs. I did alcohol. I got news for you, folks. You still fit in. You still fit in. Well, none of that can be part of heaven. It didn't say it was part of heaven, but you still fit in. See, what God did is he saw a group of people like these teenagers, undone, certainly untamed, most of them unclean. You can say what you want to. I've taught that class. You sit in there for an hour and let that fan not run. It takes about a week for that to air out. And the Lord took a group of us and made himself a house. He made himself a house that he can dwell in. He made himself a house that he can be part of. He made himself a house that he can show others and be proud of. Did you know I believe he's proud of you? I believe the Lord looks down and smiles when he sees Miss Mertz sing. I really do. I believe he looks down and he sees old Stevie Browning. And he smiles when he sees him walk into church. I believe that. I believe he looks down and he sees Mac after all these years of service. And the Lord was holding on to you on that roof, brother. Please don't let that 80-year-old deacon fall off that roof. The Lord looked down and he smiled. The Lord looks down at Jeannie Wilson. Says, I know you're going through some problems, sis, but thank you for being such a good 2x4.
Amen.
You know what's great about God? We always fit. Doesn't matter what you do or what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. You still fit. And when we move over to this new building over on Infirmary Road, you better grab a hold of something, folks.
Yeah.
You better grab a hold of something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you better grab a hold of something. When we move over to that new building, you better realize how important you are.
Yes.
You better realize that when we go over to that building, you fit.
Yes.
We can't go over to that building without every 2x4 of the building that we presently got.
Right.
We can't go over to that new building unless you come with us.
Yeah.
That present future that you're going to be going over, that present future, the one that's right there in front of us, I got news for you, folks. If you don't go with him, part of his house can't go. And let me tell you something, don't hold up God when he's doing a construction project.
Yeah.
When he goes over there, he sees Myrtle, he sees Arlene, he sees D right now, got a place for them right over there. If they don't come, we can't proceed. We won't pass inspection. I hate inspectors. And we won't pass inspection unless they go with us. Browning boys, I'm telling you right now, Brent, Kathy, if you don't come, we can't go. That's the way it is. Like, well, bless God, you always lose some in transition. Well, glory to God, it ought not to be that way. You're all part of God's building. He's put you fitly together to make a habitation for him. Glory to God, come with us. Well, there might be new 2x4s along the way. Where do I fit then? So what? You always build the first story first. There's a second story. Glory to God. We need a second story. We need more of a story. We've got to have a place to keep on building. We've got to be able to go. We can't start pulling out the 2x4s once the new 2x4s show up. How does that help us? And the top story comes down on the bottom story. Preacher can't hold us all up underneath there, 1 2x4. Man, don't leave me. Building's going to... God has a place for you. God has a place for you. Where do I fit in? You fit in right here. You fit in right here at Bethel Baptist Church. That's where you fit in. That's where you're supposed to be. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And the Lord's glad you're here tonight. But that's where you fit in. You've been made part. Not only in his present future, this is my last one, I'm all done. His future eternity.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
In his future eternity.
Yes.
Turn over to John chapter 14.
Amen.
Preacher read this morning.
Yeah.
I almost got up and told him to stop.
Amen.
John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, Annie, because I've given you a place to be.
Yeah.
Let not your heart be troubled, Bill and Louise, because I've made a place for you.
Yeah.
Let not your heart be troubled, Levi, because I'm working right now to make sure you got a house. Don't you worry about anything, Sean. Let not your heart be troubled, Nicole, because I got a spot made just for you. And I've been working on it for a real long time.
Yeah,
let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yeah.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. Where do you fit? He's already got an address.
Yeah.
He's already got Myrtle Dice written down in his address book. He's already got a little place marked out on the sidewalk. This is Myrtle's house.
Yeah.
Sublot number 112.
Yeah.
Glory to God, Bobby. He's got you a house. And if you're living with Jamie, I'm going to be on the other side of the city. Glory to God. And we won't have no car. I can't drive there. No phones either, glory to God. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, you fit right in. That's what it says. That where I am, you fit right in. We get to be with Jesus Christ, Lizzie. Right now, he gets to be with us. Then we get to be with him. He's made a place for you. He made a place for you right by his side. We get to be in his presence someday. There's only one amen out of that. We get to be in his presence someday and I only get one amen. Good Lord Almighty. We get to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Unperfect, undone, fallible people. We get to be in the presence of Jesus Christ someday. Glory to God. I wish I wouldn't have put you to sleep because you'd have heard that one and said amen. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, in this future eternity. One more verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Even as others would have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever fit in.
Yeah.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I say that to almost every funeral at the graveside. Comfort one another. Where's the comfort in that? The comfort is simply this, Lizzie. Glory to God. There's never going to be a time when there's pain again for us. There's never going to be a time again. Glory to God. We fit in no matter where we're at. For eternity, Tommy, we fit in. For eternity past, glory to God. Preacher, we've got a spot to be. Glory to God. Brother Carl, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to go into eternity. We're going to get to be with Jesus Christ. And he's got a spot made right for you. Welcome, Matt, McDaniel's house. And Mary, who... he's going to have it built already, so Carl won't have to build it. I'm going to tell you right now, kids, you've got a blessed promise and a blessed hope. Don't you give up on God, because he's already got a spot made for you. He's already got a spot all picked out. You've got your own street in the middle of the cul-de-sac. I always preach this when I was in teen class. Middle of the cul-de-sac is a Dairy Queen. Right there, and the straws are this big. And what's great is you can order yourself a blue raspberry Mr. Misty Freeze, and you can literally eat that thing as fast as you want, because in heaven there's no pain. So you can you won't have any cold headaches in heaven. Isn't that great? Glory to God. There's nothing more that I want to do when I go to Dairy Queen in the middle of summertime than have one of those blue raspberry Mr. Misty Freeze. I always get a large because I are one. And I start to drink. Oh. And then what's amazing is 2 seconds later, men are dumb. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. I want you to grab a hold of this. From eternity past to your present past, to your present future, and to your eternity future, you fit in. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, please bless us tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. I am just amazed that you made me a place to be. After all the life that I led and the terrible things that I did when I was younger, you knew it was coming, Lord, and you still picked me. I don't understand it, but I'm so thankful you did. Lord, I praise you already and thank you already for what you're going to do in the future at Bethel. I thank you for the saints that are here tonight that passed up their evening, beautiful Sunday evening, to come out and have something real from you. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be part of a church that cares about eternal souls going to hell. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you made us a place where we can fit in. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight. Lord, please be with every single one of us that's in this room. And don't let them ever lose hold of the simple fact that you love them. And you've worked so hard to make a place for them in this world. I thank you, Lord, for doing that. You didn't have to, but I'm so thankful that you did. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Tonight, I'm so glad that God's got a place for you and I to fit in. You say, how can that even be possible from the foundations of the world? Because God calls those things that are not as though they are. He actually saw you and me there, Eddie, before the foundation. I remember when David first started this message, he said, Annie, were you there? Well, Annie really wasn't, but Annie really was, because in God's mind, she was there, even though she hadn't been born yet. I was encouraged by this tonight. Maybe there's something in your heart you want to pray about tonight. The invitation is to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you'd like to talk to God about something. He cares about you. He loves you. You're important to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the truth of that great message. Help us to rejoice in that truth. And Lord, help us to draw close to you every day of our lives. And help us to know that there's a place for us, that you've got a special place just for us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. By Rosie Plays, if you'd like to come, pray, you come. Whatever's on your heart, have thine own way. Just come. That's right. Just pray. By the way, pray for Ella Morris. Ella Morris has not been doing well. She's been sick. I failed to mention her name this evening, and I wanted to. Pray for Rob's mama. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. I believe America needs to get back on their knees. I really do. I believe the key for revival is for us to pray and seek the Lord. Seek Him tonight.